So, what were your siblings like? Like, how were they?
Your brother and sister?
Yeah, how were they like?
Oh, my brother and sister?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. My older brother was quiet. But my second brother was a bully type. Even when they grew up and got grown, my second brother always told my older brother what to do. Anyway, they were close. Because my older brother was drafted in the Army. And my second brother was volunteered. He volunteered because my older brother was gone. So, you know, he volunteered. And after he got out, they both went to New York. And they stayed in New York until my second brother died. And my older brother was in New York. So his wife had relatives in Texas. So they left New York and went to Texas. And it was there. And that's where the his wife had, they were living down where he had passed away. He was the older brother. And my sisters, that was my second sister and my third sister. That was the fourth and fifth kids were two girls. And my oldest sister, she was real quiet. Didn't really say a whole lot. But my second sister was just like me. We were, because we were fighting against one another. Because we were too much alike. She gonna tell me what to do, I'm gonna tell her what to do. And she always had the big mouth. And me and her always was arguing. But, you know, we got along. But we, you know, argue and disagree, but we still, you know, brothers and sisters. And that's the way she worked. And I remember when we were down, you know, it was in a, you know, big thing back then was smoke. Everybody smoked. And my sister thought, I told her, you better quit. I said, you're going to die from that shit. She said, well, you got to die from something. And, you know, during that time, you know, it was, you know, 16, 17 years ago. As it went on, she lived in New York. Two girls. And her husband, She had gotten married, you know, two kids. Her husband had passed. And the kids didn't know how to do well. And also she got sick. And they couldn't find out what was wrong with her, And when they did find out, it was like cancer in the lung from smoking. That's when that smoking began to come out. You know, a lot of people dying from smoking. You know, I definitely went up there, you know, to see her. And I was telling her, I said, I told you we were smoking on a cave. And she said she couldn't hardly, couldn't come out with a word. And then what she died from. From smoking. Yeah. My older sister, she's still in New York. And my baby sister is South Carolina. And my other brothers, they all passed away. So only myself, my oldest sister, my baby sister, and my baby brother left in the family. That'd be the end of the family. And, just you reach the age, you know, you got certain means for me. I got all these medical problems. Now I'm a diabetic, hypertension, you name it, I got it. I'm seeing, I've mentioned it, but four different doctors. Five with my foot up. And they all got their own idea how to treat you. But, you know, it's a circus. For me, it comes. Like Gloria, she just told me, I gotta go to the doctor tomorrow. Well, gotta go, you gotta go. You know, a lot of little things happened to me. And now I got in my body, I got nerve jerk. What I mean, jerk my body up. You know, do it like that. And I can't control it. And I just wonder where it's coming from. Well, I'll see the doctor tomorrow or so. I know. Try to find out. But, you know, it is. It aggravates you. You know, you want to relax and you just can't relax because a jerk keeps in your body. And it's snatching your upper part of your body. Me, I can't say too much.
What was one of the happiest moments in your life?
You what?
What was one of the most happiest moments you had?
Happy moment in my life. You talking about back then, right?
Yeah.
When we won a state championship playing basketball. Mm. The state of Mississippi. We won the state in high school. You know, to me back then, you know, it was a big thing. That mean we going to Nashville, Tennessee for the invitation tournament. And that's the top. And we had We had a team. We played together. And see, we understood one another. And we played as a team. And that was a big part of it, the way I played, being small. And I felt good about myself then. I really did. Coming from a little school. But we had players that didn't want to play. And when you want to play, and you want to fit in, team, you got to understand what they are trying to do, not what you're trying to do, what they're trying to do. Then you can see if you really into sport, you can see yourself in a certain place in that team. and that gives you more opportunities to go in and do your best. And that's part of learning. You see, in sport, you will always learn. If it's baseball, any kind of sport, baseball, basketball, football, if it's something that you wanted to do, because nobody can force you to do it, and it's a lot of work. Nobody give you anything. So if you find out in sport, nobody give you anything on that field. In life, you will know you're not going to get anything free. You know, a lot of people walk around, don't want to work, don't want to do this, do that, but they want to have a lot of money. How do you expect to have a lot of money when you're not capable of doing it? And you have to look at it that way. The young kids, they don't think that way. You take money to live in this world. And you could adjust to it, either go on the other side, end up in jail, or either go to gang. And it's, living not easy. Living not easy. Especially when you're black. And when I came up here from Mississippi, down there then, you weren't even allowed to actually read it, talk back to a white person. Don't you go be in trouble. And he can be wrong. But everything was segregated. White was white, black was black. When you were black, you had nothing to say. But I made it through, came up here in a certain way, you end up fighting with your own people. You try to do the right thing, your own people, they always come to you with a lot of bullshit. You listen to them sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes you the one end up in trouble.
So,
What was, like, your friends, like?
Did what?
How, what was your friends like?
Friends?
Yeah.
My friends, I had... I would say 4 or 5. Real good friends. They was with you. If you needed something and they had it, they would give it to you. And maybe if you, if somebody tried to mess with you, that not in the group that we, you know, in, they would stand behind you. You know, if you mess with me, tell them, if you mess with Hawthorne, then you're going to have to mess with us. You know, it's up to you what you want to do. But you're not going to walk away free. And that's the way it was back then. And they would kill you if they had to. See, sometimes people force people to kill them by their reaction. And, but as you, as we, you know, grew up, as, you know, grew older, then everybody knew who was who. And nobody would mess with nobody. And, and we didn't have too much trouble with the law. Very few, you know, we see, we was in the country. Yeah, we go to the little town on a weekend. You know, back then, we go shoot pool, play cards, you know, listen to the jukebox, do a little dancing, you know, have a little, you know, good time. And, they all didn't mess with us. They come through there sometimes checking, you know, make sure everything's okay, nobody got no problem. And that's the way it works. And the white didn't mess with the blacks. Most of the time you have trouble with when you start going up front. You know, that was a white up there. You wasn't out of mix with the white. But that wasn't only there. In my little town, that was in the state of Mississippi and the majority of the southern state. Mississippi was bad, but there was a lot of most of them say was the same. And that's the way we grew up. Until segregation, the segregation.
Your grandparents like?
Who?
Your grandparents, what were they like?
My grandparents?
Mm-hmm.
on my mother's side, my grandparents were really nice. That you could talk to them. And see, we grew up pretty close to where they were living. You know, where they how were and where our house was. You know, as kids. We always was up to grandma's house. You know. Yeah, there was a good food. Good. She did a lot of cooking, baking. Always had something good to eat. And, you know, it got along good. And on my father's side, it was the same. My grandmother, she did a lot of baking and cooking. And see, back then, that was a thing. And then they didn't have no, had a wood stove. Then we had to cut the wood for the stove. But people back then, they ate. They really ate good. So it had their old fashioned way. But everything was rich. You know, all that sweet. Now you can't get that much sweet. Because, well, it's no good for your health. But, yeah, that was a good old day. And everything, you know, black was on black, but we got along with one another. But that's it, every once in a while that some get out of control. But, you know, as a whole, they got, most of them had kids and stuff. So you couldn't get too much out of control. You know, you got a family. And the kids and the parents, you know, they, back then, the majority of them took care of their kids. They didn't allow them to get in trouble. Well, they got in trouble, they had to deal with their mother and father. Then they had to go to the law. So you gonna get a double dose. And well, that's the way you grew up back then. That's the way it worked. And that's the way you born that way. And you raised that way, so you have to accept it the way it is until some change had come. And the change came when Martin Luther King came. And President Kennedy. And see, they was, Kennedy was, this black way they was treating the minority. That was the Kennedy. And Martin Luther King was for civil rights. And what? They had created power. And President Kennedy was the president. And they knew when his time's up, his brother was gonna run with the president. Bravo County. And they didn't want Robert Kendall to become president. But Robert Kendall didn't give a damn about nobody. Period. He was evil. And see, if he became president, his whole United States would have been different. But they knew that. Well, what they had to do? And they had to take them out. And they killed them. And the killing wasn't happened by accident either. No. It was all set up. But that's life. You want to say you live and learn. It's evil. It's an evil world. It is. By you being young, you quiet, you mind your own business, you have to be careful. And you're not doing anything. Mind your own business. What? That group come by and see it, they don't see it that way. But that's, what can you do? Can't do anything. You know, keep living and doing the best you can do. And stay out of trouble.
So what type of jobs you had?
What kind of type of job did I had?
Yeah.
Oh, coming up through from since I've been here?
Yeah.
Oh. I work in a restaurant. Mop the floor, wash the dishes, pots and pans when they're cooking. Then as I got out of school, I became a baker. And I baked 10 North Dearborn. I mean, 79 West Madison. Used to be where Chase Land had been, is now. It was, you know, a big hotel. And I worked there until I got out of school. Then I went into baking. And I worked as a cook helper. I worked in a pizza place, making pizza. And I worked in baking, my main job. I did wedding cakes. You know, people getting married. I did their wedding cake. Okay. Worked in the bakery majority of my life. And I worked downtown. I was assistant pastry chef at the Congress Hotel. And that's when Ferdinand Kennedy, Martin Luther King got killed, they got killed. And they put a chain down for the black. And I got pushed back to a slang man. And they gave the white guy my job. And I trained him. And he couldn't do what I'd do. But they gave him the job. So I ain't said a word. You know, I got bills to pay. I swang back. And they were swinging all different type of shit. Sometime I start at 5 o'clock in the morning. Next couple of day I start at 2 o'clock in the evening. You know, the swing shit. I didn't say anything. I knew what was going on. They were fucking me. And the union didn't say anything. You know, I called the union and complained. They didn't do shit. They kept working. Found me another job. Doing the same thing I'm doing down there. Making more money. And I'm in charge of the bed. And I gave my 2 week notice. And I left. They didn't want me to leave. They didn't want me to leave. I truly had to say, now you turn around, you just fucked me. And you think I was supposed to be worried about you? You know, it's just took away my job. And that means he took money out of my pocket. Because I'd have been making less money. But you black, you can't go raising, jumping, screaming, and hollering. That not gonna get you anything. Just, you know what you can do. So I wasn't worried about really getting another job. But only thing I was worried about to pay. You know, you have a responsibility at home. Mm-hmm. And I had no problem. And the place I went was a private Jewish club. Jewish. And they liked the way I did things. Well, they hired me and give me more money. I was making more money than my boss when I left the Congress. No, I mean, I made pretty good money. But I did my work. I know what I was doing. I know how to do it. So when I was in charge, I did it my way. And it all worked out good. But I did, when I did my way, I did it what they want me to do, but I did it my way. And you don't tell me. You won't see that apple pie there. See that crust. See that crust shouldn't crumb up like that. But that's what you get now. It's because they got cheap shit in there. Yeah. But that's what's going on today. Everybody wanna make more money and do less work. And the stuff they putting out is not quality, is not worth what they charging you. But nobody else out there got anything better, so that's what you have to live with. And the food line now is there. It's bad, but that's what you get now. And see, most of the shit we get now is imported. It's not grown here. It's not manufactured here. But the United States don't make anything anymore. But wait and see what this president's gonna do. But ain't too much I can say, man. And with my life now, at my age, in my condition, medical problem, I really don't have too much to say. I've been married twice. Got three kids by my first wife. I got two, which were grandmothers. I mean, your grandfather. And just, and my first wife, she was she liked to fool around. She wasn't satisfied with no one man.